ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಾರ್ಥ್ಯಮರ್ಜುನ ಸ್ಯಾದೌ ಕೂರ್ವನ್ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ದದೌ ಲೋಕತ್ರಯೋಪಕಾರಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾತ್ಮನೆ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ವಿತ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ. ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟೆಡ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ದ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಡಿವಿಷನ್ಸ್, ಸೈನ್ಯ ನಿರೀಕ್ಷ ಯೋಗ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ್ ವಿಷಾದ ಯೋಗ. ಸೊ ಸೈನ್ಯ ನಿರೀಕ್ಷ ಯೋಗ, ಅಬ್ಸರ್ವಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಆರ್ಮೀಸ್, ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ 1 to 25 ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ 26 to 46. ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ್ ವಿಷಾದ ಯೋಗ, ಅರ್ಜುನಾಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಮೆಂಟೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ವಿತ್ ದಟ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ನೌ. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ವಿ ಸಿ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ 26th ವರ್ಸ್. ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಕಮ್ ಇನ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ದ ಟೂ ಆರ್ಮೀಸ್, ಯೆಸ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕಮ್ ನೌ, ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ಯು ಹಿಯರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಪಶ್ಯೈತಾನ್. ಓ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಸಿ ಪಶ್ಯೈತಾನ್. ಸೊ ಈ ಭೀಷ್ಮ ದ್ರೋಣ ಪ್ರಮುಖತಃ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಭೀಷ್ಮ ದ್ರೋಣ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಸಿ. ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಆಕರೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಸಿ. ನಾ ದ ಫೋರ್ತ್ ಆಕರೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ತತ್ರ ಪಶ್ಯತ್ ಸ್ಥಿತಾನ್ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಪಿತೃನಥ ಪಿತಾಮಹಾನ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಾನ್ ಮಾತುಲಾನ್ ಭ್ರಾತೃನ್ ಪುತ್ರಾನ್ ಪೌತ್ರಾನ್ ಸಖೇಂಸ್ತಥ ಶುಶುರಾನ್ ಸುಹೃದಶ್ಚೈವ ಸೇನಯೋರುಭಯೋರಪಿ ತತ್ರ ಅಪಶ್ಯತ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಹಿ ಕುಡ್ ಸಿ ಸ್ಥಿತಾನ್ ಪಾರ್ಥ ದೇ ವಾಸ್ ಸಿಚುವೇಟೆಡ್. ಹೂ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್? ಹಿಸ್ ಹೋಲ್ ಸೆವರಲ್ ಜನರೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಲೇಟಿವ್ಸ್ ವೆರ್ ದೇರ್, ಪಿತೃನ್ ಅಥ ಪಿತಾಮಹಾನ್. ಸೊ ನಾರ್ಮಲಿ ಯು ನೋ ವೆನ್ ಅ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಜಾಯ್ಫುಲ್ ಒಕೇಶನ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇವನ್ ನವ ಡೇಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಸಿ ಅ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಗೆಟ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿ ಟುಡೇ ವಿತ್ ಬೋತ್ ದ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ವೈಫ್ ವರ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಯು ನೋ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ವೈಫ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್. ಬಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ದ ಪ್ಯಾರೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾರೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ರೇರ್ ಒಕೇಶನ್. ಸೊ ನಾವ್ ಇಸ್ ಥ್ರೀ ಜನರೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಫನ್ ರೇರ್ ನವ ಡೇಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ 5 generations ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಗೆಟ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ನಾರ್ಮಲಿ ಅ ಜಾಯಸ್ ಒಕೇಶನ್. ಬಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಗ್ರೀವಸ್ ಒಕೇಶನ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಈಸ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಮ್ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಷನ್ ಬಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್, ಮ್ಯೂಚುವಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ 5 generations ಪಿತೃನ್ ಅಥ ಪಿತಾಮಹಾನ್. ಸೊ ಪಿತೃನ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಫಾದರ್ಸ್ ಜನರೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಶಾಲ್ವ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದಿ relative of Madri, who is his mother. So who is the like the stepmother, the mother of Nakul and Sahadev. So there we see that in the father generation, and then we also have in the father generation other people also, several other people. There is Bhurishrava and his father, so both of them are there. So that is another generation which is older. And we have Bhishma Pitamaha, who is in the grandfather generation. So ಆಚಾರ್ಯಾನ್ ಮಾತುಲಾನ್ ಭ್ರಾತೃನ್. ಸೊ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಾನ್ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೀಚರ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಇಸ್ ಟೂ ಟೀಚರ್ಸ್, ಕೃಪಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ರೋಣಾಚಾರ್ಯ. ಬೋತ್ ಆಫ್ ದಮ್ ಟಾಟ್. ಅಲ್ ದ್ರೋಣಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಪ್ರಾಮಿನೆಂಟ್ ಟೀಚರ್, ಬಟ್ ಕೃಪಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಅನ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ. ಹಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಟಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಗುರುಕುಲ್, ಲಿಟ್ಲ್ ಬಿಟ್, ನಾಟ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್. ಮಾತುಲಾನ್, ಮಾತುಲಾನ್ ಇಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ನಲ್ ಅಂಕಲ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಶಕುನಿ. ಸೊ ಈಸ್ ದ ನಾಟ್ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ ದ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ನಲ್ ಅಂಕಲ್, ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ನಲ್ ಅಂಕಲ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್ ಮದರ್ಸ್ ಬ್ರದರ್. ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ಭ್ರಾತೃನ್ ದ ಬ್ರದರ್ಸ್, ಎಸ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ 100 ಕೌರವಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ಬ್ರದರ್ಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪುತ್ರಾನ್ ಪೌತ್ರಾನ್ ಸಖೀಂಸ್ ತಥಾ. ಸೊ ಪುತ್ರಾನ್ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಸನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾ ಸನ್ಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬ್ಯಾಟಲ್ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅರ್ಜುನಾ ಸನ್ಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಬೈ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನ ವಾಸ್ ಓಲ್ಡ್ ಇನಫ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪೌತ್ರಾನ್ ವೇರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದೇರ್, ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಸನ್ಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದೇರ್. ವಿ ನೋ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಅಭಿಮನ್ಯು ವಾಸ್ ಬೈ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವಾರ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಭಿಮನ್ಯು ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಇಂಪ್ರೆಗ್ನೇಟೆಡ್ ಉತ್ತರ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಹರ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ವಾಸ್ ಬಾರ್ನ್. ಸೊ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ವಾಸ್ ಬಾರ್ನ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದ ವಾರ್. ಬಟ್ ದ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಅದರ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಜನರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಭಿಮನ್ಯು ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಓಲ್ಡ್ ಇನಫ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಬಿ ಗಾಟನ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ದೋಸ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ವೇರ್ ನಾಟ್ ನೆಸರಿ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್, ದೇ ವೇರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಆನ್ ದ ಬಾಟಲ್ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಪಿತ್ರಾನ್ ಪೌತ್ರಾಂ ಸಖೀಂಸ್ ತಥಾ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ಸ್ ವೇರ್ ದೇರ್, ಹೂ ಆರ್ ದ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ಸ್? ಕೃತವರ್ಮನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮ ವಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್. ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ವೇರ್ together in the Gurukul. And both were expert archers, although there was some envy in Ashwatthama's heart for Arjuna, because Ashwatthama had wanted to be the best student of his father, but Arjuna had defeated him and excelled him. But still, they were close friends while they were in the Gurukul. So, Shashuran Suhrudashchaiva, and fathers-in-law, and Suhrudashchaiva, there are many others who were actually his well-wishers. So, in this way, Senayor Ubhayorapi, so all of them assembled over there. And when he saw all of them, now the fathers-in-law were not necessarily on the opposite side. The fathers-in-law were on his side also. He saw Draupadi's father Drupada. He was there on the battlefield. So actually when Arjuna came and saw, Arjuna was not just seeing the opposite side. He saw his side also. So when he saw both sides, Atra Pashyati, he came in the middle. His primary vision was Bhishma Drona Pramukhtaha. But he was looking all around. And he saw all of them. So Senayor Ubhayorapi, in the middle of the two armies. Then what happened? So then, Tan Samikshasa Kaunteya, Sarvan Bandhu Navasthitan, Krupaya Paraya Vishto, Vishidanidam Abravit, Tan Samikshasa Kaunteya. So again, here we have the word Iksha coming the fifth time, seeing. Tan Samikshasa Kaunteya, Sarvan Bandhu Navasthitan. All of them were relatives. Avasthitan, situated Krupaya Paraya Vishto. So he was overcome by emotions, strong emotions. So here he is talking about emotion as compassion. And Paraya, he is very strong. So here Paraya is not para, it is not transcendental compassion, it is material. But a Paraya, it is so strong that it is overwhelming. And that's why it is Avishto. Avishto means it overwhelmed, it came over him. He came under the Vasha of that, that put him in his, in its Vasha. And Vishidan Idam Apravit. And then Vishidan means lamenting. So when that compassion came upon him, it made him lament. And when he was lamenting, he spoke at that time. Idam Apravit. These were the words he spoke. So we see that the perception shapes the emotion tremendously. Now what we see affects us. Of course, all the senses affect us. Whatever perception comes from the eye sense. But vision affects emotion quite strongly. And when Arjuna sees, immediately his emotions get affected. And we will see the contrast between his thinking earlier and his thinking now. So let's look at the next verse here. For the first time in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has now started speaking in a prolonged sequence. Earlier you have spoken Senayor Ubhayor Madhye. I will speak several verses over here. So Drishtvi Mam Svajanam Krishna Yutsum Samupasthitam Siddhanti Mama Gatrani Mukham Cha Parishushyati. So now, the first thing that we observe is that his whole perception has changed. Earlier he was saying that there were Dhartarashtra Se Durbuddhe Yuddhe Priya Chakirshava. Who are the friends of that evil-minded Duryodhana who have come to assist him? So those who, his idea was those who are assisting that evil-minded person, they'll also be evil-minded. But those whom I was earlier talking about, Dhatarashtra Sidurbuddhir, now suddenly he calls them as Swajanam. Swajanam, they're my people. So earlier he was saying, oh, they are Duryodhana's people. They're on Duryodhana's side. And Duryodhana is evil-minded. But he's saying, oh, they're my people. Drishtvemam Swajanam, Krishna. Then, oh, Krishna. This is the first reference to also Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The word Krishna has been referred to as Achyuta, Rishikesh, by many names, but Krishna is a very affectionate name. Generally, in the Mahabharata, the name Krishna doesn't come as frequently as the name Keshava. Keshava is a little bit more formal. Vasudeva is also a name that comes. And those are the names by which Yadav is also there. So he's often referred to by these names. Krishna definitely comes, but not all that frequently. Krishna is a very intimate name. So Drishtvemam Svajanam Krishna. He says, oh, now I'm seeing again, Drishtva. So we see another occurrence of the word, seeing. And then what is happening by seeing? Yutsam Samupasthitam. They are my people, but they are fighting against me. They are ready for fighting. Yutsam Samupasthitam. And then what is happening by this? Siddhanti Mama Gatrani. All my limbs are quivering. Mukham Cha Parishushyati. And my mouth has dried up. So here we will see that Arjuna is showing the symptoms of an emotional breakdown. He is getting overwhelmed by strong emotions, Krupaya Parya Vishtu, as it was said in the previous verse. And now that overwhelming compassion that has come over him, that is having a physical effect. And the physical effect is trembling. Siddhanti mama gatrani, and our throat is dried up. Actually, when the emotions become very strong, then we start feeling a parching of the throat. So here what we see, the Bhagavad Gita is a very important lesson, right from its setting, that Pratyaksha puts us into illusion and Shabda takes us out of illusion. So Arjuna was ready to fight. Arjuna had come on the battlefield to do Krishna's will. But he says, Avekshe hum, I want to see that desire for Pratyaksha Praman, and not just Pratyaksha Praman, over-reliance on Pratyaksha Praman. That is the problem. We all have to use Pratyaksha Praman. No, it's not that Pratyaksha Praman is to be rejected, but Pratyaksha Praman is not to be treated as all-important. Pratyaksha Praman means the Praman wherein we get knowledge by sensory perception. So now Praman means it is also valid. So Pratyaksha Praman is also a valid source of knowledge. But it is not the final source of knowledge. Now, for example, if somebody is caught doing something wrong, if somebody is robbing something, or somebody is doing something, and then the police come and catch him, he says, don't believe in Pratyaksha Praman. You know, seeing is not believing. That would be ridiculous, isn't it? So Pratyaksha is definitely a valid way of acquiring knowledge, but it is not the final way. And especially with respect to transcendental matters, where Pratyaksha is not possible, practically speaking, then Pratyaksha becomes useless, largely speaking, unless there is Divya Pratyaksha. That means our spiritual consciousness is awakened, and then we perceive at a spiritual level. So when we are talking about here Pratyaksha, when there is over-reliance on Pratyaksha, and that over-reliance on Pratyaksha causes a forgetfulness of Shabda, then it is a serious problem. So Arjuna has become overwhelmed by emotions, and when he's overwhelmed by emotions, that overwhelming by emotions disconnects him from his scriptural roots. It uproots him from the ground of scriptural knowledge where he has been rooted till now. And he's just tossed around by the emotions. So how the emotions toss him around, we see. We'll see in the subsequent verses. But here the point is, all of us also, if we rely too much on Pratyaksha Praman, we will get unduly affected. We will get overly affected. So certainly, we don't have to close our eyes and we don't have to reject what we see with our eyes. We also have to remember that what we see with our eyes, we have to connect with scripture. And based on scripture, make sense of things. Otherwise, we will get overwhelmed and we will get misled. So sometimes, the whole point of scriptural study is connect the specifics that we are experiencing with the universals that are taught in scriptures and then learn from that. We'll discuss more about this when we discuss about realization later in the Bhagavad Gita. But here suffice it to say that Pratyaksha has to be subordinated to Shabda. So Pratyaksha puts Arjuna into illusion and it's Shabda that takes him out of illusion. Arjuna's credit is that when Pratyaksha starts dragging him into illusion, he doesn't immediately act on it. What he does is, he consults. He consults. We contrast Arjuna's response with Kaikai's response. You know, when Manthara started feeding poison to Kaikai, through the ears, she spoke and Kaikai heard. Now she was dragged into illusion. Her whole perception was changed. She was thinking of Ram as dear to her as her own son Bharata. But then she started thinking that, oh, Ram is my worst enemy. But her error was, she did not consult anyone. Through Pratyaksha, she got some information. Now that Pratyaksha may come through the ears also, but still it is Pratyaksha in the sense that it is sensory perception. It is not scriptural knowledge. And instead of consulting anyone, she decided immediately to act on it. So in this world, we can't avoid sensory perception. We have to use sensory perception because we are living in the world. And sometimes, sensory perception can be misleading. So when you find that sensory perception is misleading, at that time, we have to consult scripture. We have to consult Guru Sadhu Shastra and get a proper understanding of the situation. So Arjuna sets that example also, that he now moves towards a proper understanding. Let us see, what does he say? So, Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting point in the purport that the symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness but to soft-heartedness, a characteristic of pure devotee. So, feeling emotions is not wrong. And here the emotions are positive, they are healthy. They are compassion is a very noble emotion. When one sees others suffering or others about to suffer, at that time you think, oh, why should they suffer like this? Let them not suffer. And if I can avoid the suffering, let me do what I can to avoid their suffering. So thinking like this is actually noble. And when he is doing this, it is very good. So now moving forward from here, let us see what Prabhupada quoted Yasyasti Bhaktir, the famous verse which says that actually devotees have all good qualities. Now Arjuna is describing further the symptoms of his physical breakdown. Vipatuscha sharire me roma harshischa jayate gandivam sramsate hasta tvakchaiva paridhayate. So vipatuscha, vipatu means that the hair on the body are standing up. Sharire me, the hair on the body is standing up, and roma harshischa jayate. So actually vipatu means vapor is trembling. So vipatu is trembling of the body. The body is trembling. So earlier the limbs were quivering, but here now the whole body is trembling. And Roma Harsha is actually the hair on the body is standing. Now Prabhupada will write, the hair on the body can stand because of ecstasy, or they can because of intense positive emotions or intense negative emotions. When very happy that I'm hair may stand, and we are very scared. So here actually Arjuna is scared, not just scared for himself, but scared for the bloodbath that is going to spread over the whole Kurukshetra war. And he is scared for the fearful about the destruction and death of so many of his relatives. And Gandivam Sarabsate Hasta, he is saying, so Arjuna is giving a first person report of what is happening over here. He is telling that I am observing, Arjuna, Krishna, I am talking with you. Against my will, the Gandiva is slipping from my hand. And sometimes we may see in movies that somebody is just coming along in a house, and then some lady is bringing a plate of food, and then suddenly she hears, oh, the phone comes and her husband has got a heart attack. And then what happens? The plate just falls and she falls unconscious. So what happens over there is, when emotions are very strong, we lose control over our physical faculties. The plate may fall and crash and break, and the person also falls after that. So generally emotions have physical effects more quickly on females. Females may cry immediately, much quick. Of course, males may also cry, but emotions may generally affect females more quickly. For a male to get affected, and in such a way that for a warrior to feel that my weapon is slipping off my hand, this is extraordinarily harrowing experience. Harrowing means very emotionally troubling. So he's observing, he's saying, it's not that I want to let go, it's not that I decide I'll put it, it's slipping off my hand, I just can't hold on to it. How is this happening? Gandivam sramsate hasta, and then tokchaiva paridayate. So what was described in some parts of the body earlier, mukham cha parishushyati, he says, okay, my throat had dried up. But he says, now my whole body is burning, whole skin, it seems as if it's a flame, very strong emotions are there. And Arjuna is describing his emotions. What is he trying to say? He's trying to convey through this to Krishna how seriously he's been affected. Now, how strong his reaction is in terms of avishto, in terms of how he's being overwhelmed. Now Prabhupada explains further that now he's moving from the physical to the mental. And now before we move to that, Prabhupada seems to give another perspective over here. So he becomes so impatient, his Gandhi was sleeping. All these are due to the material conception of life. Now just in the previous purport, Prabhupada said that actually, all this is, Arjuna is a pure devotee and the compassion is a sign of a pure devotee. That's 28th purport. And 29th purport is, all these are due to material conception of life. So what exactly is happening over here? We have to understand that when the scriptures are being narrated, or when the events are happening within the Lord's pastime and they are presented in scripture, there is no, the emphasis is not just on absolute deciding this is right or this is wrong. The emphasis is on learning what we can learn, learning what is there for us to imbibe. So at one level, we can say that everything that happens in the Lord past times, especially involving his intimate associates, is orchestrated by the Lord. And when it is orchestrated by the Lord, then the devotees are exhibiting exalted qualities over there. So Arjuna's so when we look at it from that perspective, that Arjuna is a devotee, and as a devotee, he's exhibiting the quality of concern and compassion for others. It's a noble quality, that's a devotional quality. So that's one perspective of looking at things. And from that we can learn, we should all be compassionate. Another perspective of looking at things is that, yes, Arjuna is a pure devotee, but now, by the arrangement of the Lord, he is coming under yoga maya. He is coming under illusion. And when he is coming under illusion, he is acting like a conditioned soul. And when he acts like a conditioned soul, at that time, we have to see what is the philosophical point that we can learn from his action as a conditioned soul. He is not a conditioned soul, but under the influence of the illusory energy, he is acting like a conditioned soul. And then from that perspective, Srila Prabhupada is telling over here, that he is acting under the material, under the bodily conception of life. So, this is not necessarily contradictory. It is depending on the perspective that we are taking. So, we can take both perspectives and through both, we learn the point that we should see the Lord's associates as exalted. At the same time, when they are brought under illusion, we should understand that I should not go under illusion like this. And when one goes under illusion, one thinks like this. So, actually the Acharyas also describe at the purpose of the first chapter where Arjuna is making all these reasons. He's saying, I will not fight, I should not fight. That is actually to demonstrate the need for spiritual knowledge and Arjuna's qualification for receiving spiritual knowledge. See, the need for spiritual knowledge is that when one is in bodily conception, at that time, one will eventually be bewildered. One may think that I am going right and I am going this, I am doing that, and in this way, one may think I am well situated in life. But eventually, one will become bewildered. And if one doesn't want to be bewildered, then one has to rise to a higher level of consciousness. And that rising to a higher level of consciousness happens when one gets spiritual knowledge. So on one side, the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita illustrates how worldly situations create perplexities for those who don't have spiritual knowledge and how spiritual knowledge is essential. Another level, first chapter also shows Arjuna's qualification. Arjuna is soft-hearted, Arjuna is thoughtful, Arjuna is compassionate, Arjuna is submissive. So we'll see so many of these qualities as we move forward in this chapter, and all of them illustrate Arjuna's qualification. So here, the point that is being made in the 29th and 30th verses, how material situations create perplexities for those who are in the material conception of life. So now, Arjuna will describe the perplexity. Acha shaknomi avasthatum pramati vacha me manaha nimittani cha pashyami viparitani keshava. Acha shaknomi avasthatum. He says, I am unable to stay here. Arjuna is standing there, ready as a warrior to fight, but he feels, I can't even stand here. Not only is the Gandiva slipping, but even I am not able to stand. And not only am I affected physically, Brahmati Vacha Mai Manaha. Brahma, I am feeling like a vertigo, I am feeling dizzy, my mind is just racing here and there. And whatever I think of, I don't know what I should do. Nimittani Cha Pashyami Viparitani Keshava. So whatever I am seeing it's all Viparitani. Viparitani means it's all inauspicious. It's all way all. Very indicative of disaster, of tragedy. So at another level, this nimitta, I can mean causes or it can also mean symbols or omens. So actually speaking, now Arjuna is having these emotions, and Arjuna can also say that all these are omens of what is going to happen. See, when certain involuntary reactions come up, then they are indicative of certain future dangers. So for example, it is said that if the right part of the body twitches, then that is considered, say, inauspicious. The left auspicious, the right part of the left part of the body twitches, that is considered inauspicious. So, if this sort of twitching comes in unexpectedly, then there is a subtle phenomena that indicate that it is inauspicious. Now, today people may say, oh, if my body starts twitching, then maybe I got Parkinson's disease. That is inauspicious. Somebody may say, oh, if you have difficulty moving your hand, you're feeling pain in the chest, that may indicate you're about to get a heart attack. That's very inauspicious. Now, this is simply biological. But there are cosmological factors also involved. So just as, you know, a person who doesn't know about any heart attack, he will say that, oh, you're feeling some pain in the arm? Why are you taking it so serious? So people get pain in the arm, that goes away. But he knows the science. Oh, pain in the arm. It might be indicative of something more dangerous. Of course, heart attack can come in many ways. But I'm just giving an example over here. That when one has knowledge, when one sees something happening, one can connect it with something much deeper, much more serious, requiring far more and far graver attention. That is the point which is being made over here. So in omens, the idea is that actually in the universe, the whole universe is a coherent whole. And the cosmological factors, the ecological factors, the topographical factors, the physiological factors, all of them contribute to give our karmic reactions. So all of them can point what is going to come through omens. So nimitta can also mean an omen. So this Arjuna is saying all this is inauspicious for a kshatriya to see to feel the body trembling, to feel the bow slipping. All this is inauspicious for a kshatriya. So nimitta can also indicate inauspiciousness. As described in the Anandindavan Champu by Kavi Karanapur, that when Krishna was caught in the coils of Kaliya, at that time inauspicious omens were seen in three places. Topographically, physiologically, and environmentally. So they saw the dark clouds and thunder and meteors. And it was very inauspicious. And on the ground, they saw wolves braying and they saw owls hooting. And in their body, they saw their bodies twitching. So all this, oh, some great calamity is about to befall. And everybody in Vrindavan ran out to Kaliyakund when they heard Krishna was in danger. So it's described that everyone from old men, old people, to 1 year old babies, they all ran to Vrindavan, out of Vrindavan to Kaliyakund. What is happening? What has happened to Krishna? What has happened to Krishna? That was their sheer despair as they ran along like that. So, as Arjuna is saying that, oh, inauspiciousness is about to happen. And I am feeling also my mind deluded. So, nimitta can mean all these are causes. So, Prabhupada explains that what is happening is everybody, even people are self-centered. People think in terms of what is in it for me. Then sooner or later we'll come to it, a situation where, you know, we find ourselves in a lose-lose situation. Whatever I do, I lose. What is in it for me? Actually, there's nothing in it for me. If I do this also, there is a problem. If I do this also, there is a problem. So, what should I do? Prabhupada says the only way out of this is to rise to a higher level of thinking. That to rise to seeing things not from our perspective but from God's perspective. And then God's perspective doesn't mean that we have to sacrifice our perspective, because God is the well-wisher of everyone, including ourselves. So when we are self-centered, we can think only in terms of our good. And when we find that situations are such that there is no good for us, then we feel, what am I doing? Why am I here? And people may just want to run away from the situation, or they may even want to quit life itself. They may commit suicide because they feel that there's nothing here for me. But the essential message of the first chapter, we could say, is the incomprehensible is not insensible. The incomprehensible is not insensible. That means that when something doesn't make sense to me, it's incomprehensible. But just because it doesn't make sense to me doesn't mean that there is no sense in it. There is sense in it. And what is the sense? That I can't understand with my finite intelligence. There is God's plan and there is sense in it. So the incomprehensible is not insensible. So when we think that we have to judge everything based on our intelligence, then the incomprehensible can be very disorienting. It can be devastating. Why is this happening? Why? So instead of asking why this? Bhavidari is asked, oh, to ask how now? Okay, how should I? I'm a servant and let me serve Krishna. How do I serve Krishna in this situation? So what does Arjuna show us in the 2.7, 2.6, 7, 8? He will show us that how now? When I don't understand, ask Krishna. Ask Krishna what I should. So one inquires. So we may not be able to ask Krishna directly, but We can turn to Krishna's words of Bhagavad Gita, we can turn to Guru Sadhu Shastra, and we can learn from them, slowly. We may not get an immediate clarification like Arjuna got through question answers, but there will be a gradual illumination that will come in our heart if we turn to Krishna and seek his guidance. So the important point is that when things don't make sense, that doesn't mean that there is no sense in them. It's just that we are unable to make sense of them. There is a plan of Krishna in everything that happens. And we just have to pray and do the best that we can, and eventually the prayer plan would be revealed. So here Arjuna says, I can't make sense of anything. Brahmati vachame manaha. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. So because no one is interested in the Supreme Self, so the conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pain. So when we are self-centered, sooner or later we will face trouble. And Arjuna thought his victory in the battle would only be a cause of lamentation. That means he thought, okay, I'm here to fight and win. But if I win, I lose all my relatives. What's the point? And if I can't leave also. I'm a Kshatriya. How can I leave? What should I do? So he was saying that, Nimittani Japashyami. I'm seeing everything inauspicious over here. So now he's speaking, Achashreyo Napashyami. Hatva svajana mahave nakangshi vijayam krishna acharajyam sukhani cha. So he's talking about shreya. Shreya is long-term good. There is prayas and there is shreyas. Prayas is short-term good. Oh, like a student is in college. A student thinks, oh, there's a party. Let me go to the party. There's a cricket match. Let me go and watch a cricket match. And that is prayas. The immediate pleasure is there. But then if the student is going to think in terms of a career, then I have to study. I have come to the college for studying. I come to the school for studying. And let me study. As I study more and more, then I will have a long-term career ahead for me. So, nacha shreyo anupashyami. So, Arjuna is saying that I am thinking about shreya. I am not thinking about prayer. Arjuna is saying that I am thinking from the long-term point of view. What will I gain? You may say that I will win the war, then you will gain the kingdom. But he says, I am thinking not just of winning the kingdom. I am thinking after that. After we get the kingdom, what after that? Nacha shreyo anupashyami. I don't see any good. Hatva svajana mahave. If on this battlefield, I kill my svajana. So Arjuna is again using the word svajana. Oh, these are my relatives. And nakangshi vijayam krishna. What will be the pleasure if my teacher, if my grandfather, they are all dead. What will be the pleasure left for me? How can I kill them? So hatva svajana mahave. I cannot kill them. So actually the Mahabharata described that Bhishma was dominating the battle for the first 9 days. You know, he was unstoppable. And after the first 9 days, when they saw that they just cannot defeat him, then Yudhishthira remembered. Bhishma had said earlier that I will approach me later and I'll tell you how I can be killed. So then the Pandavas went to Bhishma. And then Bhishma told them that if Shikhandi is in front, then I will not shoot at Shikhandi. And then he told, then as Arjuna was going back, Arjuna was thinking, he told Krishna, he said, how can I possibly kill my grandfather? He said, you know, after I would come, when I was small, after I would come from playing, then I would climb onto the lap of my grandfather. My feet would be dirty and I would soil his clothes. And I would play with his beard. And he would say, Father, Father. And then he would stroke my hair and he would say, child, I'm not your father, I'm your father's father. So, Arjuna is remembering these moments with a tender heart. Mahabharata describes as that when you had to face the gruesome task of fighting and being the cause of the death of Bhishma, he said, how can I shoot? So, Krishna told him that sentiments are good, but they should not sway you from the path of duty. Remember that you have obligation here. You have taken a vow. Your obligation is for the whole world. You have to ensure that the rule of righteousness prevails. So dharma prevails. So here he is thinking that if all of them are killed, if my relatives are killed, you know, what will I gain? And therefore, if I don't desire the kingdom, nakangshe vijayam krishna, Arjuna is feeling as if, suppose there is a World Cup match, and the captain, Indian captain, is told, or Indian team is told, you know, yes, you can win the World Cup, but in the process of your winning the World Cup, a nuclear bomb will destroy the whole country. A bomb will, and you will go back, you will have the World Cup, but there will be no one to celebrate it with. You won't have your relatives, you won't have your fans, there will be nobody in the country. The country will be a country of corpses. I don't want the World Cup like this. People say, what is the use of that? Nakangshi is saying, this kingdom will be like an empty trophy. With whom will I enjoy it? Nakangshi, Vijayam, Krishna. I don't desire victory and I don't desire what will come by victory. That is the kingdom. Najarajyam, Sukha, Anicha. I don't want all this. And then he goes on and describes further. Kim no rajina govinda, kim bhogair jivitenava, yeshamarthe kangshitam no. Rajyam bhoga sukhani cha. So he says, actually, kim no rajena govinda. Oh Govinda, what will we do with such a kingdom? Kim no rajena govinda. Kim bhogair, what can we enjoy? In fact, how will we be able to live also? If all our loved ones are sujanam hatva, they're all, okay. Yesham arthe kankshitam no. So for whom, for enjoying with whom, we want all this. Rajyam bhoga sukhani cha. So, actually, with those with whom we want to enjoy, they are here on the battlefield. Ta ime avastita yuddhe. That they are also here on the war field. And, ta ime avastita yuddhe pranam tyaktva dhanani cha acharya pitara putras tathaiva cha pitamaha. So, they are ready on this battlefield pranam tyaktva dhanani cha. They are ready to give up their wealth, they are even ready to give up their life. And Arjuna is going to list all those whom he had listed earlier. His earlier listing was there, but that was not Arjuna listing. That was Sanjaya listing what Arjuna saw. Now Arjuna is repeating that list. And when he's speaking, they are all my relatives. How can I kill them? So going back to earlier example of the World Cup. You know, it's not just that everybody in your country will be killed, but you will have to kill all of them to win the World Cup. No, I can't do that. So he's saying, how can I do that? I can't kill all of them. So actually, now Arjuna is thinking here more in terms of his own enjoyment. He's not so much thinking in terms of eternal dharma. So obviously the example is not appropriate for this. But I'm talking here not from the objective appropriateness, but from the subjective emotions. So, you know, we can't enjoy anything material if there are no loved ones with whom we will celebrate the joy. So Arjuna is saying the same thing. How will I enjoy? What will I enjoy? And he said, who all are there, who all will be facing each other in the war and who all will be killed. So he says, Acharya, Pitara, Putra, Sathaiva, Chapatamaha. So we discuss this. And then, Matula, Shoshura, Pautra, Shala, Sambandhinastada. So, Tatha, Etanahantumichapi, Ghatopi, Madhusudana. He says, I do not desire to kill them. Etanahantumichami. Ghato, even if I am killed, Ghatopi, Madhusudana. And here he adds one more relative. Shala is sisters-in-law. So then he describes further. Shala sambandhinastatha. Sorry, Shala is brothers-in-law. So actually, who are the brothers-in-law that are there? Actually, here the Dushyudhumna is there, and the Dushyudhumna is going to fight with Dronacharya, and then he doesn't know what is going to happen over there. And in a sense, they're all relatives over there. Sambandhinastatha, they're all relatives. And then he says, I cannot kill them, even if they kill me. Apitrai lokya rajasya. He says, I cannot kill them, even for the sake of all the three worlds. What to speak of this earth? Heto kimnu mahi krite. I'll not kill them. Nihatya dhartra ashtrana ka priti sya janardana. O Janardana, by killing them, what will one gain? What will I gain by them? So, actually here we see that Krishna is referred to by many names. So, in the first line of the four-verse sequence, that is in 32, he is referred to by Govinda. Kim no rajena Govinda. Oh, Govinda, what will the Rajya give to us? Then, in 34, he is referred to by Madhusudana. Ghritopi Madhusudana. And then, In the last line of the 35th verse, he says, Ka Priti Sya Janardana. The three names of address are used. So here we will see this repeated phenomena that when they are referring to each other, Krishna and Arjuna, they will refer to each other by name and they will refer to each other by various names also. So actually name is also opulence of a person. We treasure our name, and generally we will see that if we remember some other person's name, that person also feels very valued. So names are considered very intimate, and the person has many names, that's also like an opulence of a person. Then which name one is using, that also indicates the mood. Sometimes when two friends are there, and when they are talking formally, they will refer to each other formal names. But when they are very close to each other, then they refer to each other by their nicknames. And the way we address a person indicates our emotional state, indicates the state of our relationship, and it has an according effect on the person. So these various names are also indicating Arjuna's thinking. And Arjuna is saying over here, also Prabhupada explains also in the purport, as does the previous acharyas, so Govinda, so you are Govinda, Vinda is just enjoy, Go is senses. So one who gives pleasure to the senses, one who protects the senses, one who gives pleasure to the senses. The Lord is called as Gopal, he is also called as Govinda. Gopal is the protector. Go can be senses, go can be cows also. So Gopal is the protector of senses, Govinda is the delighter of the senses. Now, how is our Krishna the delighter of the senses? Actually, when we serve Krishna, then our senses get the supreme delight. When we look at the beautiful things of this world, our eyes may give us some pleasure. But when we train our eyes to keep looking at Krishna, and gradually we become purified and we start beholding Krishna's supreme beauty, then the pleasure the senses give us far, far greater than what we can get by looking at worldly good-looking objects. Similarly, our tongue, it can give us some pleasure by eating, it can give us some pleasure by bragging if I speak my own glories. But actually when we speak about Krishna, and we glorify Krishna, the pleasure that the tongue can give us is far, far greater. So when we talk about Krishna as Govinda, he is the delighter of the senses. So we may say, how is it possible? Krishna tells, give up sense gratification. But the paradox of bhakti is that by giving up sense gratification, we get the greatest sense gratification. Actually, glorifying Krishna with our senses gives the supreme sense gratification. And there are many verses like this in the Vaishnava's writings which talk about, O tongue, sing the holy names. Jive sadaiva bhajasundarani namani krishnasya manoharani samasta bhaktarti vinashanani govinda damodari madhaveti. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur is praying. He is saying, O tongue, I am praying to you. Jive sadaiva, always bhajasundarani. O tongue, please always, he's not saying just chant the holy names, he says worship the holy names. That means chant them in a very respectful way. Jive sadaiva bhajasundarani. What should you worship? Namani krishnasya manoharani. So he's not just saying that names are sweet. Actually, madhur is often said, but he is saying these are beautiful names. So sweet, generally we talk about beauty as something being perceived by the eyes. And when we get some prasad, they say this prasad is beautiful. We won't say like that. This prasad is delicious, we will say. So beautiful we would say when something looks good. Delicious when we say something tastes good. But we see, Kulishekhar Maharaj says, Jive sadaiva bhajasundarani. The sundar names of Krishna. Why? Because when the holy names of Krishna invoke his presence, then that presence actually pervades, permeates, conquers all our senses. From the nama, the roop is revealed. And the roop is all attractive. So that it's a trans-sensory experience that begins with the senses, but it goes beyond the senses. Namani krishnasya manoharani. So, it just doesn't give experience to the senses, the joy, it also goes to the mind. And then the joy is so deep, so fulfilling, that all of one's misery goes off. Samasta bhaktarti vinashanani. All the misery goes away. It's like sometimes when we get something very enjoyable, and after we got it after a lot of effort, and people feel, oh, it is all worth it. It is all worth it. Now somebody may stay awake at night to watch some sports match, and then after that, or somebody may go to a stadium, a lot of crowd is there, a lot of noise is there, somebody cramps person sits for hours watching, and then after that one wins, after the team wins the match, then what happens? Samastarthi vinashanani. It is all worth it, and you feel so happy that the discomfort is there. Maybe one is sitting in a sweaty place, crowded place, one is tired, one may not be having sleep, but when one gets that joy, it's so great that one just feels, hey, this doesn't matter. So like that, at a physical level, a devotee may have misery. But when a devotee experiences the joy of Krishna's presence, of Krishna's love, that is invoked through the chanting of the holy names in a prayerful and devotional way, then samasta bhaktarthi vinashanani. So all misery is destroyed. So Krishna is Govinda how? He's Govinda. When we use our senses to serve him, then he gives the greatest delight to our senses. However, Arjuna is telling, oh Arjuna, oh Krishna is saying, I told you that mukham cha parishushati, my throat has dried up, sidantivam gatrani, my limbs are trembling. So he says, my senses are aflame right now, my stokcha paridahiyati, my skin is burning, so my senses are aflame. Oh, Krishna, why are you putting me in such a situation of misery where all my senses are drying up and suffering terribly? You are Govinda, you can give pleasure. But actually Krishna will give pleasure by engaging Arjuna in devotional service. And then he says, Janardana. Janardana means you are the protector of the Jana. Ardhan can mean protector and Jana is people. You are the protector of the people. Oh Arjuna, Krishna, why are you engaging me in doing something which will cause the destruction of the people? So of course the word Janardana can mean something else also. Jana Ardhana or Jana Ardhana. So depending on how it is, the prefix is separated. It can mean the protection of people or the destruction of people. So Krishna has come here to rid the world of all the ungodly elements, those who are the burden on the earth. And in that sense, Janardana. He's also purifying the world of his burden. He's always the well-wisher, but his well-wishes sometimes are expressed by ridding the demons of their sinful body so that their sinful propensity is at least temporarily checked, and the disruption of society and law and order that they are causing because of their demonic activities is stopped. That is how he paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya dushkrita. So Krishna Janardana is his Janardana. His protection of the people is for the sadhus. Paritranaya sadhuna. Janardana is the destroyer of people. That is for the dushkriti. So Krishna is going to do both here. And now, we are describing this. Now Arjuna will give another reason. So Arjuna is giving various reasons. First he started with the reason of compassion. How can I kill others? Then he came to the reason of enjoyment. What will we enjoy? How can we enjoy with all our relatives killed? And now he's going to another reason. He's saying, what about sinful reactions? If we kill our own relatives, we'll get such sinful reactions. Papameva shraye dasman hatvaitana tataina dasman naramayam hantum. So here we will see that Srila Prabhupada has cut the verse in such a way that we have 6 lines in the verse, but it's only 1 verse. So the future will have 4 lines only. So you remember earlier we discussed how in the 20th, 21st verse, Prabhupada had made 6 lines into 2 verses. So that is based on continuity of thought. So overall, the chapter has 46 verses. So there are 2 verses which are put as 1.5 verses are made 2 in one place, and 1.5 verses made 1 in one place. And that's how the total count remains 42. So 46 rather, sorry. Now, here, papam eva ashraye dasman. Papam eva ashraye. He says, we will be taking shelter of pap. He says, we will come upon us. Actually, generally we talk ashraye in a positive sense. Ashraye is that you shelter, but actually, to take shelter of pap means to let pap come upon us. The pap will cover us. So that is not a shelter. That is actually a burden. So shelter is used in that sense over here. It will cover us. Pap meva shre dasman. Hatva itana tataina. Hatva itan. We will kill these atataina. So The word atatayin. Ata means stretch. Ta is bow. So atatayin refers to those who come with a stretched bow. That means those who are aggressors. Those who come with the intention to destroy, to kill. Tasma na ravayam hantum. So I'll discuss the word atatayin a little more. Let's look at the verse for tasma. Therefore, we don't desire, we should not kill them because we'll get sin. Naravayam hantum. It is not appropriate for us to kill them. Dhartarashtran sabandhavan. Sabandhavan. So they are all the sons of Dhritarashtra and our other relatives. We should not kill them. If we kill them, Sajanam hikatham hatva. If we kill our own Sajanam, this is the third time Arjuna is using the word Svajana. These are all my relatives. How can I kill them? Sukhinasyama Madhava. Oh Madhava, what happiness can you get? So again, the word Madhava is significant over here. The significance of the word Madhava is that Madhava refers to Krishna as the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. So when he's the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, that means that he is the bestower of fortune. In fact, the one who bestows fortune, she is by his side. She is his servant. So wherever he is, there will be good fortune. So Arjuna's implication over here is that why are you bringing misfortune upon me, O Lord? So Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually God is all auspicious. You know, God never desires harm for anyone. Krishna, however, never brings misfortune to anyone, to say nothing of his devotees. Krishna never brings misfortune to anyone. But sometimes we feel that God is bringing misfortune. So we have to understand that Krishna's actions may not always be pleasant, but they are always benevolent. Pleasant means that which feels good. Benevolent means that which does good. So Krishna's actions may not always be pleasant, but they are always benevolent. Just like if there is a surgeon wants to remove some cancer or some dangerous growth from the body, and then at that time the surgeon's knife cuts. Although it is not pleasant, it is benevolent. It is for our ultimate good. Similarly, Krishna's actions can sometimes be surgical knives, and when they cut, it pains. But we should know that the pain is for our good. So similarly, that surgical knife of Krishna is cutting here the attachment, the bodily misconception, the illusions that have come from the bodily misconception for Arjuna. That is going to be cut off now. So he feels that actually that cutting will be auspicious. That's why I say, oh Madhava, why are you doing something unfortunate like this? But actually that is going to bring in the supreme fortune for Arjuna. So what will the auspiciousness for us? Now Prabhupada also explains here, what are the atatayinas? So he describes six kind of aggressors. So a poison giver, one who sets fire to the house, one who attacks with deadly weapons, one who plunders riches, one who occupies another's land, and one who kidnaps a wife. So these six are aggressors. Now if we see that actually the Pandavas suffered in all six ways due to the Kauravas. That means the Kauravas were atatais in all six ways. So poison giver, we know that Duryodhana tried to feed poison to Bhima when they had taken them on an outing, and then Bhima was miraculously saved. He not only gave poison, but after giving poison, when Bhima fell asleep, he had him tied up and he threw him into the river. He was hoping he will drown. But by Krishna's arrangement, he was bitten by snakes over there. And the snake's poison and his poison encountered each other. And Bhima woke up and then he was tossing the snakes away. And the snakes were frightened. What is this? What kind of being is this? And then he was taken downward to Varun Loka. And there he was given to some other mystical Loka, where he was actually given further nectar-like drinks, which made him stronger. So far from dying, he became stronger when he came back. But that was when Bhima was given poison. Then one who sets fire to the house. So that is also, and then the Pandavas, well, Varanavart, so the house was burnt. At least it was an attempt to burn, but Bhima arranged in such a way that the Pandavas all under Vidura's guidance, especially Bhima, they are in such a way that they set the house on fire before Arjuna, before Duryodhana's stooge, Duryodhana's evil assistant, could set them on fire. They set the house on fire and they left by a tunnel. And then one who attacks with deadly weapons. The Kauravas had done it several times. It was in Virat they had attacked. It was in before that also. In several times actually, the Kauravas also planned to attack. You know, after the Kurukshetra, after the gambling match got over, and the Pandavas had been exiled. So at that time, Duryodhana came up with a devilish idea. He said, "You know, the Pandavas are all weak. They are shocked. So let us take the full army and march out, and we'll kill the Pandavas." So at that time, Vyasadeva came, and Vyasadeva said, "The evil deeds that you have done, they are a disgrace to the dynasty. I have tolerated them till now. But if you go and march out against the Pandavas now, I curse you that you'll be destroyed." So Duryodhana, no matter how arrogant he was, he still knew the power of the curse of the Brahmana. Therefore, he withdrew. That time had come with the intention to attack. And now, again, the Kauravas were there with the intention to attack and kill. One who plunders riches. So the Pandavas had their whole wealth plundered away during the gambling match. And the gambling match was also rigged. It is unauthorized for, it is against the gambling codes. If two people are playing, then those who are staking the wealth should be the people who play. But it is against the codes that one person stakes the wealth and another plays. So Shakuni playing on behalf of Duryodhana was wrong. And Yudhishthira objected to that. He said, if Shakuni is to play, then he should stake his wealth, not your wealth. But then when he objected, Shakuni and Dhritarashtra, Shakuni and Duryodhana said, if you are afraid, then don't play. And then Yudhishthira looked up at Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra did not object. So Yudhishthira felt that my elders are not objecting, then I have to do what they want me to do. So Dhritarashtra had invited him to play for a friendly gambling match, but it was anything but friendly. So their wealth was plundered away by devious means. And then one who kidnaps a wife. So when Draupadi was in her period and was wearing a single cloth, at that time Dushyasana had dragged Draupadi into the public assembly and tried to disrobe her. So that was equivalent to kidnapping. She was dragged out of the women's chamber without proper dress. And the attempt was made to disrobe her and disgrace her in a public place. So that was dreadful. That is like kidnapping a wife. So actually in all six ways, the Kauravas had attacked. Now the point of these six kinds of attackers is that those who have attacked in this way, they have already done bad karma and they deserve to be punished. So those who have attacked in this way, if they are punished and they are killed, you know, their misdeed, their crime is so grievous that the punishment for that crime is capital punishment. They deserve to be killed for that. And for killing them, there is no bad reaction. There is no bad reaction. Why? Because that's what the misdeed that they have done is such a thing that they can be killed. And especially if a Kshatriya is there, it is Kshatriya's duty to kill. In fact, if Kshatriya doesn't kill a sinful person, a person who is artai like that, then actually that person anyway has to get a sinful reaction in a future life. But the Kshatriya, because the Kshatriya fails to administer justice, Kshatriya also gets a reaction. And Kshatriya gets a reaction in terms of having failed to do his duty. So beyond this, now we will see that Arjuna is thinking, Papam eva ashrayasmat. So we will get sinful reaction. They are aggressors and they should be killed. But then the problem is, they are aggressors, at the same time they are our relatives. So the Vedic culture, the relatives should be protected. You know, it's a dharma to protect one's relative, to help one's relatives. So aggressors should be killed, relatives should be protected. So there is a conflict between what I should do. Should I act as a Kshatriya? As Kshatriya dharma is kill the aggressors. But Kula dharma, in the future verse, I will talk about Kula dharma. Kula dharma is to protect one's dynasty. So if I consider my dynasty, I cannot kill my relatives. So what should I do? He is thinking, oh, Kula dharma is more important. Actually, I have to act in a proper way. And saying that I cannot kill like this. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, such killing of aggressors is quite befitting any ordinary man. But Arjuna is not an ordinary man. Arjuna is saintly and he is thinking that I should not kill. But actually saintliness is not to be shown by a Kshatriya. Or rather, saintliness is to be shown by a Kshatriya in a different way. Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Ram. When Ram had abducted Ravana, at that time Ravana was punished by Lord. And then there is a time for saintliness. But when law and order is being disrupted, then that time, that is not the time for actually saintliness. In fact, saintliness, what is exhibited there is not saintliness, it will be cowardliness at that time. We see that Lord Ram, when his kingdom was taken away by a conspiracy, by Kaikeyi, at that time the Lord did not Lord Ram did not do any military uprising. He accepted it because there was no adharma in terms of causing harm to others. It was he alone who was suffering. But when Sita was kidnapped, at that time, what did he do? He was atatai. He abducted another person's wife, and he was a demon. He was terrorizing people anyway, so he had to be killed. So dharma, how it is to be applied, that has to be seen. So of course, there was no adharma in that sense because it's the king's discretion to decide who will be the successor. So normally, the oldest son is the successor, but the king has the freedom to decide. So he saw that it's my king's, if my father's prerogative, let him decide. So there he did not do anything, but here he did. So dharma has to be applied carefully and aggressors have to be killed. But Arjuna is thinking, this aggressor is my relative, how can I kill them? And therefore he says, I will not kill them. So we'll talk about Kula Dharma in the next class further. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.